Okay, so Rav Meir Yechiel from Ostrovtsa, Yetes Adar. Such hana on learning these stories. Hope we have time to go through a good amount of them. So he was a Talmud of the Imri Elimelech from the city of, I forget exactly how to pronounce it, I'm looking for Grozinsk, and later a Talmud of the Shinovarov. His father was a simple person. His father was simple, but not simple, in the sense that he wasn't a Rebbe. He was a baker. He said once, he remembers as a youngster, that his father and his mother, they worked very hard in the shop. And a few times a year, there was a fair. Everybody would go to the shuk in the city nearby. And his father was going to go there, and he took along his son, Rav Meir Yechiel. And he said that his father told him, as they were walking there and they had to go through different forests and it wasn't easy to get there, his father said to him, "It seems that right now we're going to the fair, and that's why we're on this journey. But that's not the case. Because the Baal Shem Tov taught, we know from Talmid the Baal Shem Tov, Hashem is Meichim Mitzadei Gavar. And every step which we take in this world, although we think that we're going for plan A, it's really, it has to do with mysterious things which we don't know anything about. Just keep in mind, every step which we take in this journey, Hashem is Mitzadei Gavar." And he said that went into him, and he never forgot that in his whole life, and he turned out to be such a phenomenal tzaddik. It was a Goyin Olam. Goyin Olam. One of his inyanim was that he used to say Pulpulim, very, very deep Pulpulim. And you can look at his farm, Meir Nechachamim, the Rei Meir, Gevaldik Tyres. He would daven Shachris with tremendous Hislavas. And one of the Talmidim who was made after seeing him daven Shachris said that his payas were like split into six. And he was schwitzing like crazy after Shachris. And he would turn around, he would go, "Nu," he would say, "Akushia, Akushia." Somebody asked me a question. He was ready to jump into learning. And you had to ask him a question, and he would go onto a pilpul. He would go into a pilpul for the next 45 minutes. But he was very weak. Stam, he was a weak person. He fasted for 40 years, some say 50 years, every single day. He only ate mamash mashu at night. He didn't sleep in a bed for many, many years because of the tzaras of Klai Yisrael. He wouldn't sleep. Very interesting tzaddik in this way. And every single day he would make a tainas chalom. A tainas chalom every day. Because he really tried to sleep as little as possible. Even if he fell asleep for 10 minutes, he would wake up and he would say, "Tainas chalom." And that was like his excuse to have to fast. He fasted even on Shabbos. Because of tainas chalom, you could fast on Shabbos. So he once met with a certain Rebbe and he said to him, "You know, I remember I'm an enikel of the dinover of not of the dinover. It was the lelever, David lelever. And when he was pressed to eat for other people, so you know he would eat. But as much as he tried to press my Meir Yechiel to eat something, he would get out of it. He would find ways not to." So he says, "Rav David was once sitting, and the guests wouldn't eat unless he ate. So Rav David ate." "So what are you going to say?" He says, "Who could be the tzaddikim like that? A great tzaddikim can eat." "A regular person like me, I can't eat." He used to call it my aveira. Nobody should learn from my aveiras to eat on to fast on Shabbos. Nobody should learn from these aveiras that I do. But he says in his own avodas Hashem, he pushed it. He could not. He ate as little as possible, slept as little as possible. Once the Bisker Rav Chaim Bisker was sitting with him, and they were speaking and learning. And Rav Chaim said to him, because the Ostrofer gave him something, put something in front of him. He says, "How can I eat?" The Gemara says, "Madasani lach lechaverech leisavid." You know, what your friend doesn't like to do, you shouldn't do yourself. So how can I eat if you're sitting here and you're not eating because you hate the food? So he said, Biskarov, he says, "I don't eat because I hate the food. I like the food very much. But although I like it very much, that's why I don't eat from it. So you can eat from it." The Ger Rebbe, the Imri Emes, was once sitting with him and he had a similar encounter. The Ostrofer put some food in front of him. And the Imri Emes wouldn't eat until the Rebbe ate. He says, "I can't eat. It's not good for me." So he says, in the Gemara, asks Stira. On the one hand, it says, "Lashem ha'aretzum loya," everything belongs to Hashem. On the other hand, it says, "Aretz nasan livni Adam." So the Gemara says, "Kan koidim ha'bracha, kamach ha'bracha." Before you make the bracha belongs to Hashem, So before, but after you make a bracha, it belongs to you. So the Imam Emes said to him, he says, this food doesn't belong to you, it belongs to Hashem. He said, how can I eat from it unless you make a bracha first? You can't give me rishas to eat it, it doesn't belong to you. Rav Shem was really taken by that. He liked a very good pilpul. So he took a little something to eat, cover the gerev. He had a little something to eat. That was very, very unusual that he would eat only a mamash and mashu at night. Bachatzais. He would say a pilpul many times for refuas for people. And he didn't want people to ask questions on the pilpul, because he would say, if you ask a kash on the pilpul, you could stare the refuah. So he said, he had ways of being malbish his yeshuas by saying papulim in Torah. Mama shuchka oynisha. He wrote 1,000 pages of chidushim just on Masachas Yevamos itself. 1,000 pages of chidushim just on Masachas. It was mamash a goyin oylam. People would come from all over to speak to him and learn. He was never misspoiled from the Torah, which he said. People were made, and he would say a Torah, it was as if he didn't do anything. Because he felt that whatever Torahs I say, there's much, much greater Torahs. You know, Torahs of Mashiach, this is like, he felt like it was mamash nothing. But anybody who, you learn his Torahs and you heard his Torahs, you must go out of your kalim from such Torahs, such gibulim, yeah. Especially in Gemachi, it's unbelievable. On Shabbos, he would fast, so how would he give out Shirayim? So by Shalosh Shudas, he would take the herring, he would smell it, and after he smelled it, he would have passed out Shira. That was Ilu, like he had eaten from it. Yid once came to him and he said that he had a Yerusha from his father. And it was a business. It was a shop. And he said, Kol Zman, my father had the business. So he had a very good parnasa and everything went well. But I have the business now, and you know, the same customers, they don't come, and there's no changes in the business, but I'm struggling. So the Ashrafa said to him, what did your father do when he learned, when he ran the business? He said, you know, in between, he would try to hop around, he was trying to learn something. And for you? He says, I tried a little bit here and there, but not so much. He says, now I understand. He says, the reason why a person is zechet to parnasa is because when a person opens up a sefer, the satan tries to stop him from learning. So if he sees that he can't stop from learning, so he sends him brachas. He sends him parnasa. If you start learning something, so then the satan will allow. He'll be masking this, but your shatba and parnasa will go good. That's how your father had brachas. There's a girsa in Rashi, and this is the girsa that we all have. Bikesh Yaakov leishiv b'shava. Yaakov wanted to sit in shava. Amar Kadosh Baruch. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "What? It's not enough that you have olam haba prepared for you. You want to sit b'shava even by olam hazeh?" So there was a certain Talmud Chacham that he was very disturbed by this lashon in Rashi. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, what tzaddikim want to be yoshev b'shava? Kadosh Baruch Hu should say such a thing. So he did a chippus. He started to search, and he found that the makor of this memra from the Medrash doesn't say Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. It says Amar HaSatan. The Satan says tzaddikim want to sit in this world and they have shalba, but they have already the next world. Why Kadosh Baruch Hu say such a thing? He says taka right. So he started to go to all the rabbis and to say that all the future printings of Rashi should have this change, Omar Satan instead of Omar Kadosh Baruch. He didn't like the fact that Hashem should say that. Got the finaskamas from Rabbi, came to the Ashrafse, and said, let me think about it for a day. Think about it. Maybe I'll agree to you. Came back the next day, the Ashrafse said, not only do I not agree with you, but if you go ahead and try to change it, I'm going to be Leish Lahava against you. He said, I'll be Eish Lahava against you. So why is that? He says, because what you think you're the first Chacham who had this question? If the tzaddikim before me and the tzaddikim before you, they didn't say such a thing, and they allowed that all these printings to be printed, it must mean that this is something correct about this. And you wouldn't allow anybody to touch it. That's what he said. I'm going to be an ish lahav against you if you touch it. Shlomo Zalman Orbach told this story. He said that a yid once came, he poured out his heart to the Rebbe. He says that he's having children and they're all passing away young. He needs a Yeshua and the Senyor. So the Ostrafser told them, he said that a skula for Zerah Shel Kayama is to name a child after one of the tzaddikim tzidkanios of that parsha, of the week that the parsha falls out. Fine. So he had a child, a baby girl, Parshas Nasa, and he wanted to come to the Rebbe to get advice. What are you supposed to name Parshas Nasa? So it turns out that the Rebbe passed away in the meantime, so he didn't know what to do. So it says that he went to Eliyahu Chaim Eisler, who was the Rav in Lodz, and he asked him what to do based on the Eitzah of the Ostrovtzer. So he said that if it's not in the Parsha itself, you have to look in the Haftar. What's the Haftar of Parshas Nasai? Story of Shimshon. And the Gemara says, who is the mother of Shimshon? Tzalaphonis. Tzalaphonis. Oh. And that's the name you should give the daughter. He didn't know what to do. It's such a funny name like that. It's got to give a name like that. But on the other hand, this is the bracha from the Ostrovtzer through the Rebbe from Lodz. So he said he didn't want to take chances. He'd rather have a healthy child, a living child, than to have a child with a funny name. So then he named the child Tzalaphonis, and she had a Rechzion. Didn't start a movement. He used to say people would come to him and they'd ask types of questions about the lot in their life and different things like that. Many times he would just say this. He says, I don't know what to tell you about your questions. I don't have answers to all your questions, but I know one thing is for sure, that if I would be the Ribbono Shel'olam, I wouldn't do anything different than what he's doing, not even Kechut HaSayra. So if you be the Banshom, the Banshom is perfect. So now, what does a person think? So the tzaddikim explain like this. What does a person think? He has tainas and he has questions because he thinks to himself, what? If you trace it back to what you're thinking, it would be like, if I was a Ribbono Shel'olam, maybe I would do different. Otherwise, you wouldn't have any questions. You believe in Yishkacha Pratis, so why would a person think you have any questions? I wouldn't do anything different than what the Ribbono Shel'olam is doing. So he would say, I don't know. I don't know why Kadosh does what he does, but I know this. If I was the Ribbono Shel'olam, I would do it exactly the way that he's doing it now. It's a very big chizik for us to know that. When a person goes through an yonim, do it exactly the Ribbono Shel'olam does it.
And yet we daven.
We daven, yeah. That's right. You have to understand. Tefillah and bitachon, how it all comes together. Absolutely. It's one of the chachmas in Avodas Hashem, but it's really a tefillah. Part of the bitachon is that nichlal and bitachon is in your tefillah. You could say tefillah is a chayk. Mm-hmm. And you have to daven. Why is it that we have to daven? Doesn't take away from the bitach and the accuser. So he this is a very interesting ma'isa. I think it really deserves a question to a tzaddik. I plan to maybe ask my Rebbe this question, how to make sense of this. But this is a very interesting ma'isa. He was a mechutan with Rav Naftali Melitzer. He was a big tzaddik, also from Ravshitz. So there was a dog that called Kreshen. And the Ostrovtzer wouldn't eat it, but Naftali would eat it. And when he asked him, why don't you eat it? He said, because a Yid once came to me, a simple Yid, and he said to me, here, Rabbi, I brought you some Kreshen. And he said, from the time that he said Kreshen, I knew Mina Shemaim, he was telling me not to eat it. Because Kreshen, it sounds like the word curries. Not so they can have a yonim like that. That was my sin, that I shouldn't eat it. Tzadi Melitzer said to him, Adarabba, I would have eaten it. I would have been mechavin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should get rid of all the choruses in the world. It's interesting, you know. Like the Bnei Sosfer speaks about, let's say a Meichel falls into a Meichel, Cholim into a pot of butter. It's batel b'shishim, it's mutter to eat. So do you eat it or not to eat it? So one would say, why would I want to eat it? It has a shtikol tarui v'shal iser in it. I'm not going to eat it. The Bnei Sosfer argues, maybe you should eat it because you could be mal of the iser. Right, so how do you look at it? It's a very different perspective. So really, I think this ma'aseh also brings out like this. You see two tzaddik and two different drachim. Very interesting.
Did he not eat it in the end?
Seems like not. So the Ostrovtzer, he didn't eat basar. That was one of his chumas, didn't eat basar. So he was at a Sudas Chasana, and when Naftali Melitzer was taking care of his mechotin, the Ostrovtzer, and he brought him out a bowl of soup to eat. The Ostrovtzer took one bite of the soup, and he said, he said it was chicken soup. He says, this flesh, there's real basar in this. So he went to the Rebbetzin, and he said, you know, Rebbetzin, you know, I told you to prepare it. Shumayfin can't have any basar, and she was very upset that she would be accused of that. Of course, I didn't put anything. So they went to the kitchen, and they asked the chef, and he said, no. And then they pushed it. He said, yeah, I put in some meat because I thought that it would taste better than it. Rav Tali was mamish nispoil. He says it was mamish like ki'ilu not any meat. Nobody else would be magish such a thing. He said, how do you know that there was meat in it? It's mamish unbelievable. He said, the shin of a Rav told me when I was with him once, he said, Mary Yechiel, he says, if you eat basar, you're going to be zeichet to lots and lots of madrigas. From the time the Rebbe told me that I'm going to have madrigas from eating basar, I stopped eating basar. It's very rough to myself. The time that he told me that if I eat basar, I'll be zeichet to madrigas, I didn't eat basar anymore. Tzaddik's not looking for madrigas. He was oisik many much in stakas Eretz Yisrael, and pidyon shvuyim. And again, he was very frail by nature. He pasha didn't eat, and he would collapse many times, and they had to revive him. And he lived l'malam in a teva pasha. So he was going around collecting pidyon shvuyim, and he would sit in the wagon, and people would bring him because he was too frail to go out and get. So there was one balabas. He didn't want to give for stakas. In this case, the pidyon shvuyim was to release soldiers who were enlisted in the army. Because he told the tzaddik, he says, "Why? What type of pidyon shvuyim is this? Dina de machlis adina. Dina de machlis adina. They're allowed to take soldiers. Dina de machlis adina." So he says, "I see from you that if you lived in the times of Achashverosh and Mordechai and Haman, so then there would never have been a nes. Because whatever Haman was going to, we could have just said, Dina de machlis adina. Dina de machlis adina." So how did he get into the shidduch with Rav Naftali Melitzer? Naftali Melitzer had yichus from Lezhensk. And once the Ashtar was davening by the Tzion, and he had a simim in the Shemaim after he davened there that he should marry into the family of the Noam Elimelech. So he turned to Naftali Melitzer and he said, we should marry our children. So they agreed. But the Rebbetzin was not happy with that because the daughter of Rav Naftali Melitzer, she was not a Baal Tzura. She didn't have, whatever, I don't know if she had a real physical issue, or she, I don't know, wasn't pretty. I don't know exactly what it was, but she was not for the shidduch. She wasn't a Baal Tzur. The Ashtar said, "I give you avtacha that the children which come from the shidduch will all be Baal Tzur." B'kachava, and they were all Baal Tzur. At the chasna, so but tzaddikim before the bidding of the time, there's a minhag that the tzaddikim that they talk about their yichus from where they come from. Each side says the tzaddikim from where they come from, in order to be ma'ayre the schus of the tzaddikim, that it should be the shidduch should be yali yafa. So they say, Tali Melitzer, you know, he was listing all his yichas, you know, from Rafshitz and Melech. Rafshitz didn't have such yichas, but he said this. So my father was a baker, and he told me that if you bake fresh bread, it's better than old bread. You know, whatever that means, sichas chulon shatamid chachamim. He said very interesting things like that, quoting his father, like, you know, different things that he learned from him. But that's what he said. That was like his memory from his father. Mm-hmm. Fresh baked bread is better than old bread. What he meant to say was that yichus is an old zach, yeah? It's an old thing. But if what you are now, what you are today, how you're working on yourself today, that's fresh, that's better than the old stuff. Somebody once came and they needed needed Yeshua. So first they came to the Shinever and they said, go to Vichil, to Mary Chil. And came to the Ashavser. So he says, I don't know why he's sending me to you, to me. He says, I don't know. All I could do is I could tell you, I could say 10 kapitlach tehillim for you. And he's fully Yeshua from that. It goes to show that don't ever put down, you know, 10 kapitlach tehillim. We think that a tzaddik, you know, types of Yeshuas that he's poil, all types of Yechud. I don't know what I could do for you. I could say 10 kapitlach tehillim. That's what I could do for you. I didn't say I was going to say it every day. Also, sometimes a person is going, you know, there's certain names that you put on a list and you say them every day, unless it's mamash. Sometimes somebody comes and you say kapitlach you say it now. You have to put it on your. You have to say kapitlach for Yidden. You have to know exactly. I could say 10 kapitlach for you. And with that, he was poor your shoes. One last story for now. There's other beautiful stories. Said that when he was a youngster, so he was living by a certain balabas. He was eating by a certain balabas who was a tailor, and there wasn't shalom bayis in the house, and there was a feud between the husband and the wife, and he got very upset, and instead of taking out his anger on the wife, so he went over to Mary Chin to give him a big slap in the face, and he just stormed out. So he's young, and even an adult would be hurt by that, and he went to the Beis Medrash and he wanted to say Tehillim. So saying Tehillim, and he said this. He says, it occurred to me that if I say Tehillim, because of what happened, I may cause a kitchik against this Yid who slapped me in the face. So he said, instead of saying Tehillim, about how I felt about the incident, I want to say Tehillim for that year that he should have refuah. He's clearly not well. Clearly should have refuah. I don't have anything against him. I'm going to say Tehillim for him. So as soon as he started to say Tehillim for him, somebody came in and he said, Meichi, you need something to eat? Because he was supposed to eat by him. He didn't have anything to eat. You need something to eat? Here, I have something for you to eat. No. It's a big hakar, and you know, learn a lot from these stories. You know, obviously, it's a big madriga. He was a young person, but to come to that even hakara, to daven for a person who was trying to hurt him, it's a big madriga to do that. The fact that he turned it around and he saw that this kid was broken, didn't want to be Oyer Kitchik, and he davened for him. He had such trying to develop an Avos Yisrael, so that was his issue, by the way. That was his issue. Okay, as I said, I have to cut this a little bit short, but other beautiful mice, maybe another time. Amen. The